Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 1. Matthew chapter number 1. I want to share with you just a few thoughts today on the birth of Christ. I know we've heard a lot about it, and probably there'll be a lot of repeating things that we've already said. But I don't think we could ever say it enough to exalt and lift up the Lord Jesus Christ for what He's done for us. Truly, as the preacher yesterday at the funeral, as he spoke, he mentioned how sometimes it seems like we have two definitions of what Christmas is. There's the Xmas group that says, you know, we party and we play and we have fun and we give gifts. And then there's the church people that love the Lord, the saved people, the born-again people, who worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and rejoice in His birth, for His birth led to His death. His death led to His resurrection. His resurrection led to Him going to heaven. And not His resurrection going to heaven, but soon coming back to receive us to where we one day will be. I want to share with you today and preach to you this morning just simply on the birth of Christ. We're going to talk about Him. Won't be much that I'll say today. I'll probably encourage you about some things that we need to do and how we need to do it. But I want to solely, as much as I possibly can, zero in today on Jesus Christ, who He is, where He was born, and the place that He exists today. If you have your Bibles, begin reading with me in verse number 18. The Bible said, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise." I love that statement, and that's kind of where we'll be taking things from. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord was bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Our Father, Lord, we thank You today for just being able to speak the name of Jesus. But Lord, we praise You even more than that, because You are Jesus, and what You've done for us, and the greatest gift that You've ever bestowed. Lord, I pray tonight, or this morning, that You would bless our time together. I pray that You'd give us wisdom and power and strength. And Father, we'll thank You now for what You do and what You're going to do. And we'll praise You for it. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. He said, here's the gospel, or here's Jesus Christ was on this wise. And literally what He's about to say is, I'm fixing to tell you all about it. And truly, we find today the answer to all our problems and all our questions is found in the Word of God. And so the Bible said that now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. The first thing I want you to notice is the power of the birth. This birth is like no other birth. Friend, I'm telling you today, I know you said, preacher, we've heard this, and you know you're going to continue to hear it as long as preachers are able to preach and the Word of God is able to be expounded. But it was a powerful birth. There's a lot of reasons for that. But the main reason being that man was not involved in it, had nothing to do with it. The Bible said, even though it seems that things are impossible, I have people today, the liberals, the skeptics, the modernists, they say, well, literally that can't happen. That's not true. That's not really the way it was. They've tried to make Jesus everything that He's not. And they've tried to make Him sometimes effeminate, sometimes married, and all the things they come up with. But friend, none of those are true, because Jesus was born of a virgin. No man had any hand in that. And the Bible said, with God, nothing is impossible, according to Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 37. And so man not being involved. And by the way, this is the only birth that that's ever happened with. I know today somebody said, well, they've got artificial insemination and they've got ways now where people can have babies. Sure, they do. But still, even artificial insemination involves a man providing what is needed in order for that child to be born. I'm amazed. I stand in awe today as I think about the power of the birth of Jesus Christ. To understand if God is able to do that, how he's able to do all other things in our life in all that we do. Another thing that made it powerful is the message was delivered by an angel. Now the Bible said in Luke chapter 1 verse 26 through 31, and in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came into her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his sayings, and cast in her mind as to what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Not only was Jesus to be born of a virgin without the help of man, but God sent a special group of a special man or an angel to him, and or to her, and also to him, in order that it might be made known unto them, knowing what to do. You know, somebody said, "Well, what makes that a miracle?" Well, how many of you ever seen a miracle? How many of you ever seen an angel? I'm not talking about in your dreams or in your sleep, but how many of you have ever saw an angel? I know somebody said, "Well, there's angel unawares," and I know we got, but I'm talking about a heavenly angel. How many of you have ever seen one? You know the reason you hadn't? Because when you do, it'll be a miracle. And the same thing happened on the day that the angel appeared to Mary and comforted her and gave her the words that Jesus had. And we find that it made it even more powerful, and he even came to Joseph. Here's, they're in a predicament. Mary said, "How can this be? I'm not even married. I'm a spouse to be married, and it's almost as if being married. But how can this be?" And Joseph's over here saying, "What has happened? Who? What have you done to me? Where have you gone?" Now, we don't see that's recorded, and I don't know that's what happened. But the angel took care of that immediately, and he said, "Joseph, fear not. This is what's going to happen, and you take her, and everything will be all right." You know, today, what a powerful birth. I tell you, it's powerful because man wasn't involved. It's powerful because the message that brought. But then look at the method. We find Jesus' father. You know who Jesus' father is? It's the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible said in Luke chapter 1:35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Friend, I want you to know it was a powerful birth because of who his father was. I tell you today, I'm glad to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. I'm glad to know that when I got born again, I was birthed into the family when the Holy Spirit moved inside. But friend, no other person has ever lived that was conceived of the Holy Ghost in this woman. Somebody said his father was God and his mother was human, so he had both natures. He was 100% God and he was 100% man. You said, "Tell me how that is." I can't. I can just believe the Bible. I'm glad today that literally all we have to do is to have a little faith to believe what God says in his word. This is God's holy, inspired word of God and given to us in order that we might believe it. He was God's perfect man, and he was man's perfect God. That's a good little saying. He was God's perfect man and man's perfect God. God's Christ became man's Jesus. Mary had a little baby who became the king of the universe, according to verse number 25. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and she called his name Jesus. She brought him forth, and the King of Glory was born. Now understand, when God was born, he never ceased to be God, but he became man. Somebody said, "Well, how did that happen?" Listen, I believe when he's born, he was just like a baby. I believe that baby had certain needs. Now, we know that he was much more mature, and we know later, even at an early age, he was in the temple teaching and questioning the rabbis there and going through the motions that he did. He was, because he was God. But as a baby, he literally put himself in the hands of humans to take care of him, to supply his needs until he could grow into that child. But then I want you to notice, second of all, not only the power of the birth, but I want you to notice the poverty of the birth. You see, I'm glad Jesus died for the sins of the world. Makes no difference what color your skin. Makes no difference how much money you have or don't have. It makes no difference where you live or what you do. All it matters is if you ever come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Bible said as we come here, we find in this passage of Scripture, he did not come as a king. He came as a commoner. He came, listen, that's something we can relate to, isn't it? I tell you, we live in a society today when, boy, I tell you, read these football players and people making millions of dollars and these movie stars and, man, they just rolling in the money. And, you know, that's probably one reason that it's hard for that group of people to get saved. Not to say they can't, but it's just hard for them because they're all self-sufficient. But thank God he came to the old common folks like you and I. We didn't have any inkling or any way, and there was no way we could come to God. Yesterday I was talking to a man at the funeral before the funeral began, and here's what he said. He said, I'm glad that God did not have to punch a that I didn't have to punch a ticket for being good to get to heaven. He said, I get to heaven because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ and believing on his name. And I said, brother, I'm with you right there. Amen. It's not but works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. He was a commoner. How you know? Because look at Joseph. Joseph was just a carpenter. Now, again, I'm not putting down people as carpenters. But basically, a carpenter works hard, he labors, he has skills, and that's a wonderful thing. But usually, a carpenter maybe is just a meek and lowly person, for which I believe Joseph was, by the way. But we know one thing, Joseph didn't even have the influence to get a room for his wife when their baby was about to be born. Somebody that would have had the money might have could have got the innkeeper to work something out, but We find that they could not even secure a room there that night. So Jesus was born in the stable. We find his position. The Bible said in Mark 6:3, here's what they said, is not this the carpenter's son? In other words, they could not believe that this Jesus, this Messiah, is this not the carpenter's son, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. They did not esteem him as being wealthy. They did not esteem him as being a king. They did not esteem him as being powerful. But if they only knew of the, literally, I would say, the dynamite that was in that package, that manger that night, they would have been baffled as they could not believe who he was. You remember even in Matthew chapter 17, you remember Peter had to pay his taxes. You know where he had to get his money from to pay the taxes? Had to get him out of the mouth of a fish. And, you know, listen, Jesus grew. He came and went on this earth, but he was poor and lowly. He dwelt among the commoners. He died for the sinners. Friend, he died for everybody. But sometimes we think that God is so high that he don't care. But I tell you this morning, he cares about you. And he cares about me. In Luke 9, verse 58, the Bible said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. I tell you, it was a powerful birth, but it was a birth of poverty. We find this birth of poverty that he was born literally without a place to lay his head. But what was his purpose? He could have called for great wealth and luxury, but he intentionally subjected himself to poverty that he might know the road we're traveling. Friend, this morning, there's no problem that we've ever experienced that God has not already gone through something much more difficult than we'll ever go through. I know, I was just thinking of my friends yesterday, and I know I was telling somebody last 2 months have just been really difficult, and many times that happens. But I want you to know today, my Lord Jesus Christ suffered beyond our imagination in order that we might have eternal life and go to heaven someday. It was a powerful birth. It was a birth of poverty. There was not riches. There was not all the gifts, even though there were gifts we know that the wise men brought. But yet we find that there was not anything like it is in our day. Yet his purpose was that he came in order that he might seek and to save that which was lost. And then we see the place of his birth. I love the Bible because the Bible goes ahead and tells you before you get there what's going to happen in many cases. And I'm glad today to know that I can back up what he said with what he did. I can back up what he said by what he did and what he fulfilled. And what he hadn't fulfilled, I know he will fulfill. And I'm grateful for that. But the Bible said he was born in Bethlehem, Judah. Look at chapter 2 of Matthew. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. We find also in verses 5 and 6, it said, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. You know, what's wonderful is Micah had prophesied this, or Malachi prophesied that. I'll get it in a minute. Micah 5:2, I believe. He said that he would be born in Bethlehem. He told us where he was going to be born. The truth of it is, he was. You know, we find the sovereignty of Judah. It was a province of princes. We just read that. And he talks about it there, how they were the least among the princes of Judah. But out of they shall come a governor. Shiloh means peace. And he is the prince of peace. He's the peacekeeper. He's the peace giver. Christmas ought to be a time of peace, but sometimes it's a time of turmoil. But tonight, this morning, if you have Jesus in your heart, there ought to be a peace that passes all understanding because Jesus was born in the place that he was born. He was born in a stable. A stable, that's where animals are born. Jesus, I don't know. I'm not saying nobody ever has been. I'm sure perhaps maybe they have. But not because there was no room or just maybe an emergency, but Jesus was just born in a stable. I think I touched on it the other day just a little bit. But where would you expect a lamb to be born? And Jesus is the Lamb of God. It was John the Baptist that said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And truly, we would not expect him to be born anywhere else. He was born in a stable. And that's exactly where a lamb would be placed. But he's born in a manger. Some say it's a feeding trough. I saw and read that someone said sometime that they used the feeding trough of the manger, that they would put a baby lamb in there until it got a little bit older and was able to be weaned from the mother. So irregardless of what it was, that's where they placed Jesus, in the feeding trough or the bed for the lamb. You see, Bethlehem was the house of bread, and the bread of life was placed in a feed trough. Have you ever thought about that? Bethlehem was the house of bread, and the bread of life was placed in a feed trough there to say to the world, you know what he said? He says, come without money and price. Whosoever will, come and dine. Boy, I wish I had Brother Corm here right now. I'd tell him, come on up, saying, come and dine. In other words, Jesus died in this way that he might say to the world, listen, I don't care how much money, you don't need any money. He says, come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as snow. What a wonderful thought. I'm so thankful today that nobody has to go to hell. Well, nobody has to go to hell. But only those that don't go to hell are those that get saved. But I'm going to tell you, you're not going to hell because you couldn't afford to go to heaven. Because all you have to do is submit yourself to God. Confess your sin, repent of your sin, and ask Jesus to come into your heart and to save you. Boy, it was a powerful birth. He was born of a virgin. He was born in the providence of poverty. He didn't have anything and literally lived his life on this earth with nowhere to lay his head. And then we come to the place that was prophesied in the Word of God that tells us in Micah 5:2 that he would be born there. And that's exactly where he was born, the lowly place, away in a manger. In fact, last week I kind of took off on that. There is a way in the manger. Jesus is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. But aren't you glad today? Nothing in my hand I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. I have no claim of fame. I have no claim of doing anything. I have no ability. I have no amount of money would buy my way to heaven. No amount of goodness would buy my way to heaven. My mother and daddy and their faithfulness to God will not get me to heaven. Friend, I will get there simply because I realized that I was a sinner. I was lost. I was without God. And I put my faith and trust in Him. And then lastly, we see the proclamation of His birth. It was first given to the angels, or by the angels, to the shepherds in Luke 2, verse 8 through 14. Now, again, this was a miracle. Didn't you hear me? I said, when the angels show up, it's a miracle. Because I don't believe any of us have seen them. And truly, we see in the Bible where they appeared to people. And so in Luke chapter 2, verse number 8 through 14, if you have your Bibles right there, you can flip over there and look. You ought to know we was going to Luke chapter 2 a little bit before we got out of there. But Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Friend, what we find here is the proclamation of His birth. When the angel appeared to the shepherds and told them exactly what was taking place and what transpired, he told them where to go and told them where they would find the babe. They find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The Bible said, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. I tell you today, if we could get as excited about Jesus as we do about getting something or giving something, what a wonderful thought it would be. You see, this was given by a star to the wise men back in verse 2 of Matthew 2. They read the star saying, where is that that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east, and we are come to worship Him. And today we come to the Word of God and understand that that star led them to the place. And when they got there, they must have been awestruck. They must have been overwhelmed. There must have been a feeling like we could hardly ever imagine. Boy, can you imagine the feeling today? If we were standing in the physical presence of Jesus, if He was here or we were in heaven, and one day we will be if you're saved, can you imagine? I think people talk about what they're going to do when they get to heaven. Somebody said, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to go fishing for 100 years. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to do this. I don't believe it. If you're saved and born again, I believe you're going to want to be wherever Jesus is. And I believe you're going to praise Him. And you're going to proclaim Him. And you're going to worship Him. And you're going to give Him all glory. But if you're going to do it then, why not do it now? I'm telling you today, God deserves our honor and praise and glory here today as we serve Him. But you know what? You know what our star is? Our star is what the apostles have given to us. It's been given to others. In Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Friend, today, don't be ashamed to tell people about Jesus. Don't be ashamed to witness to someone and tell them that Jesus died. Friend, do you know what? You know, somebody said, what can you give Jesus? He don't need nothing. Well, He needs you. And if you give Him you know what He would really like? You know what? If every person in this room, just saying, could lead somebody to Christ around the Christmas season, I believe that would please Him immensely, because that was His desire. That He came and He died in order that others might live. But how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear except somebody tell them? I'm glad today that Jesus came. I want others to know about Jesus. We live in a society today, and somebody said, well, with the way the world is, everybody's heard about Jesus. Now, there's a lot of religion, and there's a lot of churches, and there's a lot of proclaiming, but I'm afraid sometimes we fail to proclaim the source of what Christmas is all about. And I tell you today, I just want to encourage you the best of my ability. We ought to desire today to proclaim His truth to others to see what God has done. In the book of Psalms, it said, oh, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. I can vouch today for you. God is good. And God's good all the time. Yes, Brother David, I knew it was coming. That's good. He's good all the time. Come, if you've never come, come today. There's nothing would make not only Him pleased more than somebody leading somebody to Christ, but it would nothing please Him anymore to see somebody come to Christ and be saved even today. Are you where you need to be today? Is your mind where it needs to be? I mean, are you focusing on the reality of Christmas? Are you focusing on the reality of what God is doing and what He's done? He said, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Well, if you are, let's make this the best Christmas for Jesus that we've ever made by telling others that He died for them. Our Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the opportunity and the privilege we have to come together. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. Nothing new today that I've shared. Been there for years and years. We've preached it time and time again. Maybe in a little different way, from a little different angle, or the words are still the same. The truth is still the same. Jesus was born of a virgin. He was born in poverty. He was born in Bethlehem, the house of Judah, the place of princes and royalty and even kingdom. But yet He came as a simple commoner. And then, Lord, I do pray today that You would just guide and direct us and help us to proclaim His name. I like that song, there's something about that name. Oh, there's more to it than we know. It's more than just singing it. There's really something about that name. But what is it to you today? Is it something about that name to you? Or is it just what you do because you know you're supposed to? Are we really worshiping Him and praising Him for all that He's done? In Jesus' name, amen.